You're listening to In Focus on 107.7 The Wolf. I'm John Damschroeder, and my guest today is currently being portrayed in movie theaters across the country. Cincinnati attorney Rob Bellott's 21-year-long struggle against what are called forever chemicals discharged into the water and buried on her farm near the DuPont plant in Parkersburg, West Virginia, is the story behind the movie Dark Waters. Ultimately, one client losing cattle to these chemicals became a long-term test proving more than 70,000 residents were also endangered by these common, but at the time, unregulated chemicals. Rob, before we drill down to Parkersburg, Ohio is currently in the midst of a statewide test of our water for these forever chemicals. As one of the first people in the world to take up this issue, do you expect the state to find that there's a problem for the people listening to us here in Northwest Ohio?
Well, I think what we've been seeing as testing has started in different states across the country, that these are pretty widespread chemicals. You're talking about not only PFOA, which is the focus of the movie, but also related chemicals like PFOS, which was historically used in things like Scotch Guard and firefighting foams and other related chemicals, part of this PFOS chemical family. They are being found all across the country and, frankly, all across the world because they've been used in such a wide variety of consumer products over the last probably 50, 60 years. So, unfortunately, they are being detected in water supplies across the country, and I suspect we will see some detections in Ohio as well in other places where sampling hasn't happened yet.
Is there any level of exposure to these chemicals that is tolerable?
Well, right now, I think we've got scientists and regulators all across the country that are looking at that issue. And I think what we're seeing is the more we know about these chemicals, the lower the acceptable level is for drinking water or other exposures. The numbers have been pretty consistently coming down. As more people look at it, the proposed safety limits have gotten lower and lower.
And if we are exposed to them, what are the dangers? What are the vulnerabilities that we face over this?
Well, these chemicals, particularly PFOA and also PFOS, tend to get into our bodies. They tend to be absorbed in humans and get into the blood and circulate and stay there for long periods of time. That's the real concern, that they can get in and persist and accumulate in us. And through the work that was done along the Ohio River for the communities in West Virginia and Ohio that are the subject of the movie and what I describe in my book, Exposure, is that was one chemical, PFOA. We actually set up massive human health studies that took over 7 years and were able to confirm that drinking PFOA was linked with 6 different types of diseases, kidney cancer, testicular cancer, ulcerative colitis, thyroid disease, preeclampsia, and high cholesterol. So as regulators and scientists have been looking at not only those links, but other issues that have come up in more recent studies and in literature, there's high concern among the scientists and the regulators that we ought to be minimizing and trying to eliminate any ongoing exposures to these chemicals.
Well, since you made the world aware of this through the health study in Parkersburg, West Virginia, are these chemicals going away? Are the use of the forever chemicals, PFAS, diminishing?
Well, after I started funneling information to the U.S. EPA back in 2001, the agency, which unfortunately had really not been aware or been made aware, frankly, by the companies of a lot of these internal health studies and toxicity data, the EPA started digging into it at that point and really started coming out with risk assessments and documents that were expressing some real concern about the continued use of these chemicals. And in 2006, after providing all that information to the agency, the EPA announced that this chemical was going to be phased out in the United States, but over the next 10 years. So until 2015, that chemical was still in use or allowed to be used in the U.S., slowly being phased out. So as of now, at least, PFOA is not being manufactured in the United States. It's being manufactured in other places across the world. But during that phase out, what we saw is switching by companies to related chemicals that had similar structures, part of this PFAS chemical family. You know, PFOA and PFOS had eight carbons, things you would hear referred to as C8s. So during this phase out, you had people switching to C6s, C4s, and unfortunately, you know, those chemicals started going out into products and into the environment, and scientists and researchers looking at these newer chemicals are expressing concern about what they might do as well.
Now, your original client, a farmer named Wilbert Tennant, was at first blamed by DuPont for the animal deaths that originated the case. Then, thanks to your document digging, the forever chemicals were discovered, and Mr. Tennant was offered the usual civil remedy of money and a non-disclosure agreement. What would have happened if Wilbur Tennant was willing to just take the money and shut up?
Well, you know, Mr. Tennant was a really amazing individual. He was adamant that he wanted this information to be made available to the public. He wanted his neighbors in the community where he had grown up. He wanted those folks to know about their exposures. So, you know, he was adamant that we find a way to make sure that this information came out. And fortunately, we were able to do that.
One of the most inspiring scenes I've ever seen in a movie was the portrayal of your law firm, Taft, Sitenius, and Hollister. Managing partner Tom Terp detailing the duty of American business and when a law firm like Taft that normally defends business should take the other side of the case and oppose business. What would you have been able to do what you did had Tom Terp said, no, Taft's not going to be involved in something like this?
You know, I doubt it. You know, this was a litigation, you know, that started really in late 1998 that continues to this day. We're talking about decades of litigation, incredibly complex, expensive, complicated, very hard fought, that went on for many, many years with lots of expenses and lots of resources being devoted to it, you know, with uncertainty about whether those costs and resources would ever be recovered. A lot of this happened during massive economic meltdown as well. So I'm not sure how many other firms would have done what Taft did and stood by this. And, you know, but I think they obviously made the right decision. You know, this is was the right thing to do. You know, we took on representation of these clients, and we were going to continue it and do what we could to make sure this information came out and these people received the relief they were entitled to.
Was it received at the time in the company with unanimity, or was it as portrayed in the movie as a very tough call for Mr. Terp to make and a vote of confidence in you?
You know, I think we go in. I try to explain some of that in my book as well, just the different dynamics that were in play at the time. But really, I mean, I think it was really when it boiled down to it, and people looked at the evidence, at the videotapes, at the photographs, it became a pretty clear decision. This was the right thing to do, and we went forward from that point.
You know, I once broke an investigative story on flawed parts aboard the B-1 bomber, and it was about how computers were reprogrammed so tests would not reveal the flawed parts. And while I was doing that story and the many follow-ups, there was a storm of criticism and denial by the company, and I developed some uncontrollable physical issues. In the movie, you're shown with similar stress-related physical issues that culminated in hospitalization. Did that really happen? And if so, how were you able to keep going?
Unfortunately, you know, I did have some health-related issues. We're not quite sure what exactly those were, or what all was involved there. And to this day, not exactly sure what triggered all of that, and what kind of neurological issues were going on. But luckily, things are under control. But that was a difficult period of time.
Stress-related?
Not sure.
Well, the movie shows you as a man obsessed with this issue, and anyone with any common sense understands that working as long and as hard as you had to on an issue like Forever Chemicals means that other areas of your life had to suffer and be diminished. Could you have gone on without the support that you had on the home front?
No, I was very fortunate to have an amazing wife, my wife Sarah, who you'll see portrayed as by Anne Hathaway in the film, and three, awesome boys, my sons, who were supportive and understanding. My wife, being a lawyer herself, understood what was all involved here, and really believed that what we were doing was important and the right thing to be doing. So I think that was incredibly valuable and really instrumental in being able to continue doing this for so many years.
You were a technical advisor on that movie, weren't you?
I helped consult on it.
Are you happy with the way the entire story comes together and shows this level of support that you had to take on this battle?
I think the team that was assembled through participant media, Mark Ruffalo is one of the producers, Todd Haynes, the director, the entire cast, the crew. I mean, this was really a fantastic group. They were did an amazing job. The ability to take, a story that is quite complex and be able to present it in a way that people can understand and really, really get a feel for what it was like, living through this story, particularly in the communities, the individuals who were involved, like Mr. Tennant and the Kigers and the real people, that were experiencing real effects from the story. I think they did a fantastic job in being able to convey that, take all that information and convey it in a two-hour film. Really, I can't speak highly enough of them.
It's such an interesting portrayal and so true to life of Cincinnati, of Parkersburg, of really you get a feel for the area. In fact, filming in the Taft Law offices in the conference room. And what's the reaction been in the communities where these events took place and where this movie was made?
Well, as you indicated, I mean, the folks making the film really wanted to be as true to life as possible. A lot of the filming did occur here in Cincinnati, including our offices. They were able to meet with the real people involved in the film, members of the Tennant family, the Kigers, folks at Taft. So really were able to get a really good feel for that and able to try to reproduce that in the film. And I think, that's been folks here in Cincinnati have been, very interested in seeing it for obvious reasons. I mean, it occurred here in this area. We were able to show it, an advanced screening in West Virginia to the family members who were incredibly impressed and really, supported the film. And I think it's helping open a lot of eyes to folks who were not even aware that this story was occurring. That's really the remarkable thing here. We're talking about contamination that, ended up being one of the biggest environmental contamination stories we've ever had, contamination on a global scale of almost every living thing and every person on the planet happening during modern times. And most people were completely unaware that this happened.
So, and when this began, you were Crazy Rob taking on a fight against a huge multinational corporation, $1 billion deep pockets. And really, when it comes right down to it, against the federal government and the regulatory agency that was supposed to be protecting us from these environmental threats. Now, a New York Times article becomes a movie. You've authored a book on the issue, and you're now seen as heroic, Rob. What's the wisdom that you can share about that long journey?
Well, I think back to Wilbur Tennant, you know, the farmer from West Virginia who came to me in 1998, and he was adamant that, you know, if only people would look at the facts and look at the evidence and see what was actually happening, they'd understand, and, you know, people would do the right thing and things would be fixed. And, you know, I've really come to follow that philosophy, and, you know, it's taken a long time, many, many years. It's not an easy process, particularly as you try to get things moved through our massive federal regulatory system. But I still believe, you know, and what keeps me going is realizing if people see the facts, if people are able to see what actually happened, look at that information for themselves, they will get it. They will understand, and they will do the right thing in the long run. And, you know, it's very encouraging for me to see this story finally come out to a wider audience, you know, through the film, through the book. There's a documentary as well, The Devil We Know, that will help people understand that this really happened. You know, these events occurred, and hopefully inspire people to stand up and take action to protect themselves as well.
How much of this did Mr. Tennant get to experience, to see? Where was the process when he passed?
You know, unfortunately, he passed away while the independent science panel was reviewing the data, going through the 69,000 people, all their data for their blood samples. They're doing the health analyses. So, unfortunately, he did not get to live to see the fact that diseases were linked with this chemical, and that, you know, he was proven correct in the end. But I'm glad that at least, you know, his family, his daughters, his grandchildren are able to see his story coming out for other people to see what he did and what he sacrificed for the rest of us.
Rob Blatt, thank you for sharing your experience with us on 107.7 The Wolf. Listeners, if you haven't seen Dark Waters, do yourself a favor, go see it. After that, stop at the bookstore, get a copy of Rob's book, Exposure, Poisoned Water, Corporate Greed, and One Lawyer's 20-Year Battle Against DuPont. Rob, is the battle over, or are we just entering a new phase?
This is the next phase. The battle continues. We now realize that, you know, again, we're not just dealing with PFOA, the chemical that you see in the film and the book, but this wider group of PFAS chemicals, and they're all over the planet, and the regulators and scientists are just now starting to dig in to understand, you know, how do we protect ourselves from this wider group of chemicals, and what do we do about the chemicals that are out there. So I'm hoping people are inspired to help of the effort. There's a new program that's been rolled out with a movie called FightForeverChemicals.com, where people who want to know what they can do or how they can find more information, you can go there, and there are community groups, environmental groups, and other sources of information there about how you address this chemical problem.
Did you, in your wildest imagination, ever think that you'd have support like that when you took this on in 1998?
No, but it's you know, just incredibly encouraging to see other people, you know, once they see this information, once they actually do see this story, realizing, you know, this is a shared battle that we're all in, and you know, every single person can make a dramatic difference.
Well, thank you so much for your time, and with that wonderful thought, we'll end the program, and continued good work, please.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.